those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will experience a certain contentment, a certain rich satisfaction.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The shepherd of his people is our subject again. It's based on this very precious and very familiar psalm of David in the Old Testament, the 23rd Psalm. As we look at the 23rd Psalm, we're introduced to the fact that our God is not only separate and above and apart from us in terms of his transcendence, but that he's also immediate and close and within us in terms of his immanence. He's not only the great and high and holy and lofty and eternal God, and he certainly is all of those things, but he is as well the shepherd of his people. He's very accessible to them, ready to meet their needs, quite capable of doing that, as they depend utterly and completely upon him. As we look at the 23rd Psalm, there are, as I've said in our first message in this series last week, there are at least three insights regarding this relationship which we can develop with the Lord as our shepherd and we as his sheep. The commencing relationship is announced in verse 1. David could say quite boldly and without hypocrisy, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we took some time to analyze that tremendous verse last week. We saw the personality there, the Lord, the most significant place in all of the world to begin our life is with the Lord. He's the only solid foundation in the entirety of the universe upon which to build our lives, and we can depend upon him to meet every one of our needs, no matter how desperate, delicate, or difficult those needs may be. The Lord, that's the personality. The performance, the Lord is my shepherd. And we took the time to discuss how it is that we're introduced into this shepherd-sheep relationship. In the New Testament, that theme is carried forward, and we saw there the condition of lost sheep in Matthew 9:36. We saw the coming of a loving shepherd in Matthew 18, verses 11 to 13. And we took the time as well to discuss the conversion of lost sheep in John 10 and verse 9. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Rich blessings come flowing into our lives when we walk through that door, when by faith we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Finally, we saw the product of all of this beautiful relationship in Psalm 23 and verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He meets all of my needs. I want for nothing that is meaningful in life. And those things for which we have no want are unfolded for us in the remainder of this psalm. A commencing relationship is in verse 1. That's the place we begin. And if we expect to experience and enjoy all of the blessings that are unfolded in this psalm, then we must come to the place, first of all, where we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," without hypocrisy, not just parroting a very familiar passage of Scripture that most of us in our culture learn very early in our childhood, not just parroting words, but recognizing that we can have a very meaningful relationship, very personal relationship with the Son of God. So there is a commencing relationship, and then there is that continuing relationship unfolded in verses 2 to 5. And in that continuing relationship, we learn that our shepherd says to us, "You shall not want for rest," because he makes us to lie down in green pastures. "Nor shall you want for refreshment," he leads you beside still waters. "You shall not want for restoration," he restoreth my soul. "Nor for regulation," he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. "Nor for refuge," I will fear no evil. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, I have refuge. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Nor shall we want for resources. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." And all of those metaphors are rich with significance on a very practical level for you and I who are sheep of Christ's fold. The consummating relationship is given in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder if we might take a moment to look at the rest which the shepherd provides. As it's stated there in Psalm 23 and verse 2, he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, what do you see when you look at that expression? It says to me that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will experience a certain contentment, a certain rich satisfaction, a certain lovely fulfillment to the whole way of their life. They will be satisfied, they will be content, they will be enriched as a result of their union with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be fulfilled. As I look at that expression, there are two things that stand out to me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There are two things that stand out to me. One is the blessing. Do you see it? He maketh me to lie down. He gives me rest, contentment, fulfillment, and satisfaction. That's the blessing. He maketh me to lie down. There's a second thing I see there. That's the bounty. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, in a verdant context, in an oasis. Christians are an oasis of contentment, an oasis of fulfillment, an oasis of satisfaction and blessing in the midst of a desert of disarray and discontent. And the reason for that is they have a personal union with the Son of God. And He absolutely revolutionizes the whole of their life. He maketh me to lie down, that's the blessing, in green pastures. That's the bounty of the blessing. Now, what do you see as you look at those expressions? There are a number of ideas that kind of grow out of that, and I want to try and share them with you quickly and some of the blessings that maybe grow out of them. The Bible says the blessing is this, He maketh me to lie down. And as I look at that expression, there are two things that kind of stick in my mind. One, divine wisdom is in view. He maketh me. He knows that I need this. He's a wise God, a judicious God, and He maketh me to lie down. Divine wisdom is in view. Also, human weakness is in view. He maketh me to lie down. Why do I have to lie down? Because I'm weak? Because I have needs? And only God is capable of meeting those needs through the Lord Jesus Christ? The first thing that stands out is divine wisdom. He maketh me to lie down. You know, in the Orient, once the shepherd and the sheep have left the fold in the early morning hours, and after they have traveled probably only a very short distance, frequently, the shepherd will bring his flock to a halt. At this point, the flock is not ready for a halt. They're still fairly fresh. It's early in the day. They're very impatient. They're ready to move on and extremely unwilling to stop and to rest at the early morning hour. I don't know if you've ever been in a circumstance like that in your own spiritual journey or experience as you relate yourself to your shepherd as his sheep. But there are those many occasions in which we feel like we want to run ahead, but God is saying, now, wait a minute. I want you to slow down. I've got something to teach you at this juncture, at this point in your life, and for a moment, I want you to wait upon me. And there are rich blessings as we learn to wait upon the Lord. That's why David says he makes them. They're not ready. They're not willing. They think perhaps that they know a little bit better than the shepherd knows. They're not ready to lie down and rest, but the Bible says, He makes me to lie down. And that's really literally what he's saying, even in the Hebrew. It's in what's called a hifil stem, this verb. It's the stem of causative action. He causes me to lie down. He requires that I lie down. Why does he do that? Why does the shepherd do that? It's because he's wise. Because he knows things better than you and I know them. It's because that in his superior wisdom and vision, he can see much farther ahead than the sheep. It may be that he has noticed up ahead. I'm talking now about the Palestinian shepherd and the parallel in our Christian experience. It may be that he has noticed up ahead a very long, steep climb along a narrow and dangerous path to a mountain height where there's a rich pasture land. Though the sheep are not yet tired, he knows that they soon will be as they ascend the scale to that next mountain height. And so David says, He maketh me. He causes me to lie down. He puts the brakes on. He slows me down. He says, I have a very precise plan for your life. And I know that at this point in your life, you need a certain respite, a certain rest. You need to wait a moment. It's not always an easy thing to wait upon the Lord. I might be talking to several in the audience who are in that particular dimension of life right now. God has put the brakes on. They're in an interim period. They're being called upon to wait, and they don't want to wait. It's not native to our nature to wait, is it? We're always praying, God, give me patience now. We don't want to wait for it. But you know, there's a real value in waiting upon the Lord, and God teaches us some very powerful and precious lessons in those moments in which we're caused to wait upon the Lord, and He equips us for the next level and the next movement in our Christian experience as we're made to wait upon the Lord. Do you remember David could say in Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord? Maybe that's what God wants from you and me right now. Maybe I'm speaking just to a few. I waited patiently for the Lord. He made me to lie down. He put me in an interim period. He slowed me down so that He might equip me and integrate me and make me all that I was intended to be so that I'm well prepared for that next level of Christian development and Christian growth in my Christian experience. Can you think of any benefits that come from waiting upon the Lord? If you have a chance sometime, you might analyze Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. There are a whole host of benefits that grow out of David saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. Do you know what some of them are? He said, number one, I got God's attention. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Number two, I experienced regeneration. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Beautiful metaphor of being extricated from the binding, devastating influences of sin. Regeneration, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Preservation, that was another blessing of waiting patiently upon the Lord. He set my feet upon a rock. He made me stable. He made me safe and secure. He gave me a solid foundation upon which to build my life. Direction, He established my goings. Jubilation, He hath put a new song in my mouth. Isaiah adds a dimension, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Rejuvenation comes from waiting upon the Lord. You know what it means to wait upon the Lord? Waiting upon the Lord is not merely a forced inactivity. That's somehow the way we feel when we're in an interim period and we're required to wait. He makes me to lie down. It's not merely a forced inactivity. To wait upon the Lord means literally this. I think this is biblical and theological. It means to patiently and confidently trust the wisdom, the power, and the providence of God in the logistics of my life. Ever thought you'd like to rearrange the logistics of your life? Every once in a while you'd like to take over the reins and rule and regulate and reign in your own life? The man who waits patiently upon the Lord can expect all kinds of benefits to come flowing into his life. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Let me tell you one more time. It means to patiently, confidently trust the wisdom, the power, and the providence of God in the logistics of my life while all of the time I'm drawing upon Him for strength and satisfaction. Divine wisdom is in view in that statement. He maketh me to lie down.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.